You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pule Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
Potecha deza Madiba Radio.
Omametse Madiba's Radio.
Akalise na Madiba's Radio.
Lalele I Madiba's Radio.
Ulalele Madiba's Radio.
Niko chechereza Madiba's Radio.
Ureje Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the waves for you to be heard.
Welcome, 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 my beautiful people. Elam ikamango vuyelwe thukwakwa ntsoiva now to be your joy, honey. And as I always like to say, when you hear me behind the mic, it's just joy, joy, joy. But I'm never riding alone, okay? I'm with my girl.
The name is Sherith Lucas, and I'm so happy to be here. I miss this. I miss the mic.
You look so gorgeous.
Thank you. Can I just say that?
That outfit. I wish you guys were on studio with us right now. Like the hair, the skin.
We're doing basics today. It's cold outside.
But still, you're looking cute, honey. And it
but
is
you
cold.
Know what? The other side of the table is looking gorgeous over there.
Oh, is it?
Is it really? A radiance, you know, a beauty glow.
Gosh, she's making me blush. Okay, how have you been? How's your week been? Coming back to recess as well.
It's been rough, like, recess. Monday, forced myself to be here. Wow.
Like, whip you back to reality.
I had to be realistic. I had to be like, okay, no, I need to get myself on campus because there are things to do. There are things to get done.
And it's the last stretch, really.
It really is
the last stretch. The final push. And the one that really determines everything, make or break.
Yeah, and now is not the time to slack.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
Like that class you've been skipping.
You better be clocking in.
You're going to be a super attendance.
And you know, everyone was so motivated when like September was coming in. People were like, this is lock in September. It's your chart start again.
Oh, wow.
Come on, girl. You'll need to lock in. I hope everybody has been locking in. Mm. However locking in looks like to you.
Yeah,
how
you know.
What does locking in look like to you right
locking
now?
Locking in to me looks like attending every class. Have I been attending every class?
Have you?
Maybe not.
But there's grace for the next day.
Exactly.
We try again. Exactly. But again.
Sometimes we skip classes to catch up on work.
Exactly. Mm. Right. And also take care of our mental health.
Exactly.
And some of us have like social anxiety. Mm.
We need to take a break from people.
From
you
people.
Know, the energy on campus.
Exactly. Or there's just a lot of monitoring spirit.
I'm joking,
girls. Don't come for me.
Or sometimes you just have to prepare for that 2 test.
Yeah, you know, which I do have, by the way. And your life is trapping me right now. But you know what? By the grace of God, we keep going. Because greater is he that is in us than he is in the world.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that we cannot do.
And you know what else keeps us going?
What else?
Another Diva Drive podcast.
Oh, honey. And we're bringing you all the tea. If you don't like tea, we're giving you something stronger, which is some of like whiskey. Oh, oh. You know? But the topic for today.
Our scoop of the day.
You know, it had me on a chokehold because I'm a Twitter girl. Like, I'm always on my phone.
Yeah.
So I know everything and anything that is going on. Mm. You ask me about something, oh, I have answers to that. Give me the tea, honey. Let's talk about it. So I was literally like on Twitter and I saw it being commented on or people like just going on full blast about the beauty and the best. How cute is that, I guess.
I don't know. I kind of like the name.
Because Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, like I know what the show is about. You know, it's giving very scandalous behavior.
And it is.
But the name
Beauty.
It's got a ring to
it.
It's got a ring
what
to it.
What is Besta?
You and may I must be asking say, she yourself. Is a beauty, eh?
She is a beauty.
She's a
and
beauty.
And it's so unfortunate that things had to unfold this way.
Yeah.
You know? But of course, as we get into the scoop of the day, what do you have for us?
So, y'all know who Pearl Tusi is, right?
Pearl
we know her. We know
Pearl
her.
Pearl Tusi. Yeah, I'm talking about Pearl Tusi. Shout out, my girl.
Okay, so Netflix has released a 3-part crime documentary. I know you've seen it. It's been everywhere on the internet.
If you don't know, now you know.
Now you know.
Now you know.
The name is Beauty and the Besta. It was released on the 12th of September. Now, let's wait a minute.
Okay.
Do we know who Thabo Besta is, first of all?
known as apparently Tom Motsepe in
Whoa.
Okay. Who is
So Thabo Bester is a South African convicted rapist and murderer who has escaped from a correctional center in South Africa. And that's how he is now known. So Netflix has released a documentary as what they describe as an examination of his partner and her connection to the outrageous prison escape.
You know what? It's so crazy. I watched it and I was flabbergasted.
Things are going down in South Africa. Flabbergasted
because how do you think about such? How do you plan out things like those?
How long did it take them to plan that?
Who was involved in the planning? Why were you even thinking like that?
Yeah. And you know, I've watched a couple of reviews and they're saying that the whole documentary is painting Dr. like
Nandipa.
To be innocent.
And it's really not, hey?
Which is confusing because I thought that the series was going to enlighten us, give us something we didn't know. As for one YouTuber saying that, like, she went in with the same information and came out with the same information.
You know, I have to say, I mean, obviously reviews are there for a reason. There's always different perspectives.
Exactly.
From what I watched, there's no sense. I think from the start of everything, maybe it started off innocently.
Yeah.
From a point of love and a point of just being flabbergasted. You know when you're in love. You just don't see anything.
Can do anything but
love is blind. they say that love is blind. So our girl, Dr. Nandipa, was just blinded by this man, Thabo Bester, honey. But not knowing that he's actually this kind of person.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really hard when you find yourself in a situation whereby you're really in love with this person, but you're also seeing toxic traits. And maybe this is not even toxic traits. It's
full on criminal.
A criminal.
In prison.
Like, baby, this is a criminal. This is a rapist. This is a serial killer. Do you understand, like, the magnitude of that?
Yeah.
But then it also goes back to, I think the documentary also enforces the importance of really all these different systems that are so important. You see how there's police systems that are involved. There's the forensic side that is involved.
Yeah.
There's the psychological side that is involved. You know, you get to see where this behavior comes from. So I think Nandipa, as they're saying, is coming from a very innocent point of view because she's in love with this person. But then it doesn't realize how much it's actually affecting her that she now suddenly doesn't know how to differentiate what is right and wrong.
I love that.
You know, she's taken by love.
Yeah.
She doesn't see, and she's still captivated by this man despite all these things that he has. But now the real part comes in is that, is it really love when you start now to act like Bonnie and Clyde?
It's not what she signed up for.
You get what I mean? Beginning.
I mean, I'm sure she was a lady in love.
Yeah, she was just in love with a man.
Thabo was saying everything that he had to say.
Exactly.
And he did. Right things.
He did. On the show, he's like, you don't deserve to be with someone like me.
Wow.
You're a good person, Nandipa. You're a good person.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Just a bad person.
Wow.
You know? And Nandipa, I'm sure, is just like, no, you're not. I can save you.
Wow. Honestly, I can't fathom. And I know there was an American person that was making a video about it. And they were like, what's going on in South Africa?
The comments took me out. People are just like, guys, Nandipa niyahlaza. You're like embarrassing us with Americans.
You're telling the people what's happening in our backyard, yes. Girl. What are you doing? Man, I was like, wow.
And the Americans are just like, shocked. What is going on? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
No, because it is crazy. Because if you think about it, how do you even plan an escape in prison like that?
Yeah.
Because from the episode that was released or the show that was released, they took another body to basically make it seem as if it's Thabo Bester's body.
So obviously they've put in the time to look for a body that looks exactly like him.
You get what I mean?
Wow.
You get what? And it took months.
The commitment.
So my thing is, where did the planning even start from? Was Nindipe even in the planning of that? Because then is it even really love at this point? Some people are also saying that she was forced into the situation because he was making threats. You know, he was making threats that if you leave, this is what will happen to you. Remember that I know you. I know your kids. You're mine. You're not going anywhere.
Whoa.
And, I will kill you.
Yeah, and as for the research that I did on this, what he said is that he wasn't just obviously in jail doing what prisoners do, serving time.
Yep.
He was operating businesses.
Girl.
He was on it, you know?
He was a businessman.
He was working.
He was a businessman. Oh, they even sang happy birthday for that man.
Oh my goodness.
Like, he was wearing a suit.
That man was clocked in. He was clocked in. He was just having a break.
The mind that Thabo Bester has
needs to be studied, honestly.
It needs to be studied. And I can't really say that I want it. No, no. I don't want it because that's going to make me look like, you know? No, that's not how I'm trying to look. But wow, for you to think like that, I really wonder and I'm really curious and I really want more answers from the whole documentary, actually. Exactly. I feel like it wasn't completed. Mm. I wanted more out of the story.
Yeah. And we've watched, obviously, episode one. Mm-hmm. And actress Pearl Tusi, another victim, has released a terrifying knife encounter with Thabo Bester in the documentary. So Pearl, she recalled, mm-hmm. she's telling us, she's letting us know, she's explaining to us the chilling encounter. And it actually happened in 2011. Mm-hmm. That's intense. That was way back.
That was way back.
And I'm sure it still carries a lot of weight with her. Like, she still remembers it.
Yeah.
So Pearl explains to us that she was contacted by Thabo on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He was posing as a producer and offered her a TV hosting gig with, obviously, a generous salary.
Okay. Yeah. You know, now my question to that is, when you offered such a thing, why is there no research that is done? Is it a company? Ooh. Is it an agency?
Yeah.
Why would a personal person just come to you if they want to work with you or want to collaborate with you for their brand?
On Facebook? Is that
on
the
Facebook?
Is that the professional way to go about it?
But maybe she was innocent, right? And she wanted the money.
Yeah, and she did say that she felt very foolish at the time. Mm. She's never felt that foolish and naive.
Yeah.
And I actually felt really sorry for her because that's
not
something...
And that happens to a lot of people.
Exactly.
Mm.
You know, people get fooled, especially like in the media industry.
Yeah.
He definitely knew... how to fool
that's where scams come from, you know? And you can't really blame the person who is in that situation because they are in a vulnerable situation, or even sometimes people come from different perspectives and different points of view. What if someone was coming from a point of desperation and this is an opportunity that they saw, but now you are actually using that against the person, you know? So I think we really should offer more grace towards people. But obviously, we want to hear more of what, like, Pearl Tusi had to say.
Yeah, we do. And we do commend her for coming out with it. I know it was way back, but I'm sure it has impacted her life to a great, you know...
A really great extent.
Exactly.
And I know that even now, like, she really blames herself for not even, like, speaking up about that because that alone was weird.
Yeah.
You know, how many lives would she have saved had she spoken about those encounters, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So, Pearl. My girl Pearl. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, girl. So, obviously, she thought it was legitimate. She thought it was something real, you know. It was promising job opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Until the meeting turned into a literal nightmare.
A disaster.
So, she explains that after a 25-minute drive, that's a long time.
That's a long time. 25 minutes.
25 minutes? Ha.
With a stranger.
Mm-mm.
Why are you all driving together even?
Yeah, honestly, it was shaky from the beginning.
You know, like, there's just a lot of... There's the whole money thing. There's the texting me on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then now 25-minute drive
meeting alone
night?
As well also. Yeah.
Okay.
So the route led to a dead end near Sandton City. A dead end. Yo, I would be scared.
Girl.
I would be terrified.
What do you even do there?
Yeah. So a dead end at Sandton City, and that's where he pulled out the knife. Pearl says her faith gave her the courage to handle the situation. I commend her for that.
Okay.
Instead of panicking, she spoke to him about surrendering to God and even taking him to his pastor.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I don't know. I would have taken myself out of that situation completely.
How?
I don't know.
If you say you're going to take yourself out, How?
To let me not get into that situation because, wow.
I think Pearl was also smart. I mean, Pearl is an actress as well.
Yeah.
So she was probably like, no, you know what? Just give your life to Christ.
Ooh.
You know.
I see the angle you're coming from.
You know what I mean?
I see the angle you're coming from.
She had to put on her acting gloves and she said, I'm not dying today, child. Yeah.
So I think you, from what you're saying, is that she obviously managed to tell him put down the knife.
Yeah.
And then was like, okay, you know, just talking about God, you know, trying to get him to repent. And then took him to his pastor.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Okay. I think that's what an actress does. Right?
I love that for her.
Yeah. She is that girl.
Yeah. So she took him to her pastor, obviously, mm-hmm. and Bester broke down, apologized, and confessed.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul describes the experience obviously to be frightening, humbling, and admitting that she felt vulnerable and naive, as we said before.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would not have the confidence to go and speak about it.
Why not?
Because I would be so embarrassed and I would just keep reliving the memory.
The memory from 2011 and probably what? 16 years later.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. My math is... Yeah. That's why I don't do math. Okay?
Isn't there another documentary of him as well?
Is there?
I think so.
I really would love to know.
I should actually find out.
We should.
I think I saw something about that. But that would be interesting.
That would be interesting. I still think that they really need to continue the story because there's still so many left, unsaid stuff.
Yeah.
But going back to Pearl, I think, you know, people are bashing her on Twitter about the fact that they feel she was not needed on the show.
Mm.
She was not needed. Pearl, yeah, Tanduk ate. You know, she likes to
She just
act.
Wanted to feature.
Yeah, you know, she always just likes to get involved in things.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't think the experience is real. Some people feel like the story just doesn't make sense as a whole.
Mm.
Like, how did you guys go from... Why are you not talking about the conversation as to what led you guys there?
Mm.
So the opportunity to work, right? Why was that not even like the details of everything? Things are just not making sense,
yeah.
nor adding up. So there's a lot of like questions around the whole situation. And of course, the only way to find out is if they release
another episode,
okay? We're all waiting for answers. I literally left there and I was like, this is the end? No. I need answers from the dad to Pearl elaborating everything. Even Happy Similane was there.
Yeah.
She's from the Mummy Club. She was also there. She also was approached by Thabo Bester as well and Nandipa, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
But both of these people are people that were being crucified on Twitter.
Mm.
They were just like, oh, you guys just love being in the scandals. So we're not even going to pay attention to that. So to some extent, it sort of feels like the story is not real.
Yeah.
You know, whereas this is actually a reality.
It is
a reality.
To
why
people's
else? Lives.
Exactly.
So there's just a lot of questions behind it.
And I mean, honestly, if we have to think about the documentary as a whole, it's giving us a look into the manipulative world of
Yes.
It needs to be heard. They're painting a picture with Pearl's story as to how sinister he really is and to the levels he would go to manipulate the woman.
Mm. And you can see that majority of the people that were showing up there are women.
Exactly.
You see? So I don't think it's also fair. I mean, I do understand people's perspectives from the point of, Pearl, you should have given us a more detailed, you know, we want more. Mm. Tell us more.
But then what if she's not comfortable? Because obviously she said she felt naive, embarrassed.
Mm.
Does she want those details to be on the episode?
But you know, when you come to a true crime documentary.
We want the details.
A documentary as a whole.
We want the details.
Details need to be there.
Yeah.
And this is a show, not even just a show. It's a true crime of what is happening in South Africa.
Yeah.
So it means details need to be out there so that people are aware of certain signs in the future, maybe not even just in a Thabo Bester situation, but just a general person coming to them. They know what to look out for because this happened to Pearl.
Yeah.
They know what to look out for because it happened to Happy, you know, all of those things. So I think I do understand people's frustration from the point of, tell us more. We need to know more. You can't just come in and say, oh, you felt naive. I gave him a Bible.
Exactly.
Okay. Then what? Like, what happened?
because now the lack of information that we are given causes us to doubt whatever it is that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And our audiences are questioning. There's a, obviously, like you said, there's a lot of questions,
there's a lot of questions
around this thing. Like, there's questions that are unanswered.
You know?
And I'm like, hey.
And some people are just like, she just shouldn't have even come.
Oh.
You know? It's like, oh, I hate it for my girl because she was just doing the right thing, okay? But just like you said, you know, it was coming from a point of also maybe protecting herself to some extent. But I think when you sign up to do a documentary, there's a level of vulnerability and opening yourself up. You know, in a way. But also, not just that, we also have this weekend had Is Gaga on,
I'm so excited to talk about this. Woo. Because what was going down?
I saw that video and I said, child, what?
You have to take it back a bit. Step
rewind.
Back.
Rewind.
In this day and age, we are seeing
still
in Tembali. Just going through the controversy.
That was crazy.
Celebrities shenanigans.
Especially as a young black woman. Right.
Exactly.
And just to paint the picture for our people that don't know, Uenke posted a story, if I'm not mistaken, whereby she was collaborating or was an ambassador for Carlton Hair. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So as we said, Uenke Mbali faces a backlash over controversial K-word hair remark and she issues an apology. Actress and entrepreneur Uenke Mbali is facing major backlash, making a controversial remark about her natural hair at a promotional event in Hyde Park. Now, you need to know, what is the controversial remark? As we said, it is the K-word.
Mm.
Speaking as the new celebrity ambassador for Carlton Hair, Enkle used a phrase linked to the apartheid era, K-word, while describing her hair. Now, as I said, she's a black woman, black African woman from the name Uenke Mbali. She is Zulu, if I'm not mistaken. Though some in the room laughed, the clip quickly went viral and many South Africans commended and condemned it as offensive and unacceptable.
Mm.
Social media erupted with some users even warning that her comment could amount to, she got herself into trouble. She got herself into trouble. Okay.
It's big. It's actually a very big matter.
You know? And so now in response, Kellner Hair has pulled down the video and paused all promotions featuring Bali and launched a review of its partnership protocols.
Yeah.
Can you see how messed up that is?
I have so many questions. First of all, I'm going to start with this partnership just started. And we are starting at this. Is this the foundation of this partnership? Hi. No way.
I think the real question that I also have is,
why
this partnership?
I don't know.
Because from what I saw, the hair is mostly directed to white people.
Yeah.
Right? And so, if now you're coming with an ambassador who is a black African woman that is promoting this product, does it make sense?
It doesn't.
Because I think in terms of the business world, it also has to be a thing of brand alignment.
Yeah.
Are you guys aligning? You know?
Yeah. And obviously I'm thinking, you know, as you said, the brand is more directed to a white target market. Mm. They were obviously trying to be inclusive. And this is the worst kind of way
to be inclusive. And I mean, it's beautiful, right? We want to see inclusivity.
We do. We love that they picked her, a beautiful person, a beautiful black woman.
Beautiful girl.
To do it, you know.
But now she went there. Oh, and she blew the opportunity, girl.
The start of the party.
Girl, now you just had to drag your own people.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm thinking, my question is, why would she use the K word?
Why?
Why? I need to know
why. Why did you feel so comfortable in that setting to use that word?
Exactly.
And you know what kind of setting that is. Mm. The type of people that are there. Mm. Are you trying to make it more relatable to them? And they actually laughed.
Yeah, they did laugh.
They actually laughed.
And I feel like I would also laugh at it because it was a shock factor. I don't think anyone was expecting it. And usually when something is shocking, maybe you're watching a show, you're watching something, and you didn't expect this person to sway all of a sudden. You're going to laugh because it's a shock factor.
But you know, and now it raises a lot of questions because Twitter is going up at her. Like I said, there's a lot of backlash. A lot of backlash.
Yeah.
Because now people are like, oh, are you sort of trying to find a way for you to fit in with these white people?
Wow.
Because they laughed.
They did laugh.
They laughed and they didn't find anything wrong about it, right? And then there were other people in the room. People were also tweeting and saying that they were in the room and they were just shocked. Why would you say that?
Mm.
And now that's a black person that has that, you know, face. So it goes to show that a lot of people had different reactions to it.
Mm.
And the point of it all is that it doesn't make it right. Because again, it reminds people of the apartheid era that, again, black people had to go through. I think it's not only even limited to black people, just even colored, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. I'm not sure about Indians.
Mm.
But yeah, like it carries a lot of weight. It carries a lot of historical roots and pain.
And I think it can also, I think all people of color can relate to that specifically.
Yeah.
And in my mind, the only thing that I can think, because I was thinking this question, why she would use the K word. And the first thing that came to my mind was obviously to come off as edgy.
Yeah.
Or get attention, you know, like grab attention with that shock factor.
So maybe she was actually coming from an innocent point of view, but why that word?
Maybe, because obviously she might have felt uncomfortable with the fact that this brand is very different to her, and she tried to make some sort of connection to it in a way, or find a place.
But girl,
I don't know. Or maybe she was attempting to be funny, or kind of, you know, break the ice. Break the ice, break the ice.
But that was not the way. I'm sorry. No. I think she should have won. From my own personal point, I think she should have won, known what is her brand and what is not her brand.
Exactly.
What is for her, what is not for you. Mm. As a person, as a brand, you always find your niche. You always find your thing and something that resonates with you, right? And after that, then you can work with it. Uncomfortable or comfortable, right? But this one comes with a lot of weight. It does.
And obviously now it's not some random partnership. It's obviously Carlton here, and she got that opportunity.
Yeah.
She could have used it for something good.
But now look at it, because now Carlton here pulled down the video and also paused all promotions featuring her. So they gave her the opportunity. She got the opportunity.
Mm.
She blew it away by using the K word. And now they said, pull down the video. Mm. And now we're not going to work with you.
Yeah, pause, and now she has to apologize for it. And I don't think these celebrities understand that when you do something controversial, it doesn't just happen and then obviously we scroll to the next reel and we forget it because we have short-term memory.
Oh, honey, no.
No, we don't, because now it's showing us and it's damaging her brand, her image.
It is.
You know, because it's showing like she had the lack of awareness and the ignorance towards the meaning behind the K word and the weight that it still holds in a post apartheid society that we are now in. I think it was too soon
Not even too soon. It shouldn't have even happened. It shouldn't have even happened.
Oh, my goodness.
But now, shame. I'm pretty sure that she went back home, reflected, and went back to self.
We did get an apology.
Her Zulu black self, as she said. Since then, she issued a public apology on Instagram saying, I'm posting this video to express my heartfelt apology as a black South African woman for offending members of the community during my speech, as that was far from my intention. She explained that while she had hoped to reclaim the word, she now understands that it caused pain and was inappropriate.
Mm. I'll take it.
I don't know, girl. Like, you know what that word means.
You know what it means, yeah.
Why did you say it?
I don't know. But you, then you also, know, I'm trying to be more sympathetic and towards celebrities, because now in this day and age, social media has become people's jobs. Mm-hmm. And every single day they wake up and the first thing they think about is, how am I going to get viral? How am I going to be remembered? How am I going to make an impact? How am I going to make people like me? Mm. And they have that pressure on themselves. Mm. And obviously she felt that pressure to kind of show up for that opportunity.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it did lead to a very big controversy that people are even saying are now could possibly link to criminal charges.
Mm? Yeah, because it is wrong.
It's wrong.
It's not supposed to be used, you know. And from what you said, I do understand the point that you're bringing up. But at the end of the day, if this is your job, right? This is your job. You do research.
You do.
You do research. You do your work properly. You make sure that in what you're doing, you're not offending this type of people. You're not offending this brand. You're not offending this religion. You're not, you know, your brand should always be protected at all costs.
And even now with the topic of hair. Hair has been a very sensitive topic, especially for members like people of color.
Especially.
It's a very sensitive topic that is still
very, till this day.
To this day. People get sensitive when you talk about hair. Even brands releasing products that are supposed to specifically be made for black women and our hair texture and everything, you know, it's a very sensitive topic, and a lot of backlash really does spark very quickly with this.
You get what
she
I
should
mean?
Have put more thought so, and research.
Yeah, honestly, for me, also she's been in a lot of scandals, a lot of drama. You know, I'm just like, girl, we're tired of you now. Thank you, wrap it up, bye. Thank you. No, if you don't do your job properly, get out.
Wow, honestly.
There's only so much grace that you can show to people. And I'm not God, unfortunately, so sorry.
I'm wondering if she's going to bounce back from this.
She probably will, but it probably will take some time. You know how it is in the entertainment world. You know, that's just how it is. But also getting into our second hour link, right? Where we get into our diva convo, honey.
And this one is very controversial.
Hey, today we're just controversy.
Just controversy.
Controversy.
Celebrity shit. Anakin's controversy, backlash.
Oh, backlash, we
love it.
Now we're coming with love. Another one, okay? Getting into our diva convo. And now recently, my people, you know that South African's Constitutional Court ruled that men can now legally take their wives' surnames. A big shift from the old law that only allowed women to do so. This Heritage Month, as we celebrate identity and culture, the ruling has sparked debate about tradition, gender equality and family heritage, right? But now I want to ask you, my lovely lady, would you be comfortable with a man taking his wife's surname?
No.
Okay. What?
Not a second wasted.
What?
No. You know, I asked this question to my father as well. He said, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
Oh,
hell no.
I ain't doing that.
I personally wouldn't, because I honestly, it was never a problem to me that I had to, like, eventually have to take my husband or the man in my life's surname.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been a part of generations, culture for so long.
Yeah.
Why are we changing it now? And I've always felt comfortable with that. I've always felt like that's how it needs to be.
Yeah.
That's obviously now they've decided to change it. And I feel kind of uncomfortable with it because I know that this doesn't just link to surnames. Men are so sensitive, like sensitive about their manhood, you know, and they might even find this to be unmanly.
Okay, now can I ask you something?
Let's go.
When you are wanting, from what you're saying, right, that this is obviously something that has been passed on from generation to generation. Exactly. Why would you want to change it now? But also what you're mentioning is, what if the man is sensitive, right, around this issue? So would you say that in some form or shape or way, you are sort of considering your person's, your partner's, or your future husband's sensitivity behind his manhood?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I do. I do consider it completely. Because it's not just about me, honestly. Because if I have to think about myself, I do not care what's on a map. Mm. Personally, it's not a big issue to me. But obviously, especially in a lot of cultures, mm-hmm. surnames are very important to them.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
True.
And for a man, it's linked to his legacy, his the history that he's going to leave behind. Mm-hmm. And it's more important to men, in my opinion, as to what happens with the surname situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel like I wouldn't step over that line mm-hmm. at all.
Wouldn't you say? I think also what this law is showing right now, or this change and the shift that's happening, some people are comfortable with it.
Mm.
Some people are not comfortable with it, right? But I think from just immersing myself in two different worlds and listening to what people have to say, I think it also brings up or raises the question of, but women have always been submitting to what men want, tradition-wise, or heritage-wise, or culture-wise. Why is it so hard then to do that for the woman? What if the woman also wants to continue their legacy?
Yeah. And even till now, I never even thought of the idea of,
right?
Yeah.
No one thought of it.
No one thought of it. Like this concept never even got to you know, talking. Like, people didn't think about it because obviously we knew it wasn't legal.
Yeah.
And also women weren't very, wasn't even considered.
Yeah.
Wasn't considered.
It wasn't. But I think what at least for women, or that stance of a comfortability for them, was for them at least to be given the right to keep their surname, their own surname, right, rather than their maiden. Is it maiden surname?
I think so.
Yeah, maiden surname. So yeah, that has always been how it is. Like, for women, it's either you keep your own surname or you take your husband's surname. That's just that.
Yeah.
But now you're given the liberty to say, if your man wants to take your surname, take it. Be Mrs. Zoiba.
Oh.
Or Mr. Zoiba. You know, you move out of the way, ekhaya, gipete in this household.
Yeah.
I rule over this household. Oh my goodness. I bring the food to the table. Mm. What do you bring to the table?
But now, if we think about it, right, a surname is just a surname.
Is it?
Because now this whole thing is raising the point to me that people don't think a surname is just a surname.
Yeah.
It's not just a name. Because now, obviously, they've been given the option for men to take a lady's surname.
Yeah.
But now there are ideas raising as to, no, now the woman is going to rule the household.
Mm.
Now, automatically, the dynamic is going to shift completely if you do that.
But is it actually even going to shift? Or is it just a matter of, how about you take my surname?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because that's how I see it.
That's also how I see it. I mean, from my own stance, obviously, I'm a huge believer in keeping tradition. Keeping tradition, keeping your roots, staying true to who you are, your heritage, your culture, you know. And as a Xhosa lady, I believe in taking your husband's surname, you know, and doing things culturally, traditionally. But of course, in a changing world, you get open-minded to certain things happening. I think we're also really the first country to do that and introduce that kind of law. But for me, that's just my stance. I want to be that wife where I take on my husband's surname. I'm now moving from my own family. You know, that whole procedure and the beauty of culture. That's the beauty of culture. So I really don't want to miss out on that experience for myself. But I'm sure there are people out there that don't want to do it.
They hate the idea
because maybe to them it's a sensitive thing of, I feel like I lose a sense of identity and who I am and myself, and now I have to obviously succumb to someone else's home, someone else's surname, and to someone else's culture. I don't want to do that.
Wow.
Rather, maybe you succumb to mine. It doesn't really change anything.
Yeah.
Or rather, let me just stay with my own surname. So to each their own. Whatever works for you works for you. But I know that my people are not liking it. I know that my people are not liking it. They are not happy.
Yeah. But if we had to put positives and negatives together, because obviously it's not a must. Like, the law isn't saying that you have to do it.
Yeah.
They're giving us the option to do
that. You can, you know? If you want to.
But now people forget that there are also positives to this factor, you know, like gender equality. It promotes fairness in relationships, you know. Definitely changes the dynamic and the expectations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Women can also, you know, give away their surnames or however, you know. And it's also personal choice.
Yeah. Hence I'm saying that to each their own.
Yeah, why are we freaking out? Because it's an option now.
It's an option. Do what works for you.
Exactly.
If it works for you, you like it, do it.
And I'm sure if you were to enter into a marriage with someone, you'd have that conversation face to face and you'd come to an agreement.
Yeah. And that's how partnerships work. That's how a connection works. You know, you have these conversations and you want to see what works best for both of y'all.
Exactly.
But I think the whole point of it is we're introducing this law so that there's just equality around. And I think that was the whole point of it.
Not
the whole backlash, not the whole scene that is happening. Mm. You don't like it, it's okay. Stick to what you like.
But you know, as South Africans, I do not think that we like breaking traditions.
Oh, no, we don't.
Not even the bad ones.
Oh, no,
we don't. We do not like breaking traditions.
No, we don't.
And it honestly just makes me question a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because now this shift, it kind of gives a very obvious difference between the new generation and the old generation.
And the old generation,
yeah. Because obviously we know it's a new generations bring new practices. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to let go of these old traditions and make way for the new ones? I also think that most controversies or most backlash are now coming from older generations that are kind of saying, why would you do this?
Why are you changing what has always been there?
Exactly.
And I think, you know what, I also get it from the point of the old generation because remember, so in Isul, they say, so basically, wisdom comes from those that came before you, right?
Mm.
And obviously the things and the traditions that they've cultivated come from a place of a lot of security, a lot of safety, a lot of pride in their culture and their traditions. So for that now to be deconstructed and broken down and changed, and also why are you allowing that change as an African person? You know, there's a lot of perspectives to the older generation. And I get it because there's a sense of taking pride in your culture and your tradition. And now you're coming into a world where they're sort of trying to westernize everything, and why you're allowing it.
What a common theme,
you know.
It's a very common theme.
Yeah,
old meets new,
you know.
Resisting new traditions, you know?
It's
new
a hard
ways of
one.
Doing things. Yeah,
it's a hard one. It's a difficult one. And I think if there's something that I really love about South Africa is the fact that there's so much liberty. There's there's so much inclusion, you know, there's so much diversity. I think we're really, amongst all other countries, we're one country that is always really finding ways of adapting new things, new systems.
Yeah.
You know, the law being so democratic, you know, and I think that's the thing that has been fought for such a long time. And now we're living in that. But we also need to accept the fact that it's not just black and white. There's a lot of things to consider.
Exactly.
And of course, as a new generation, we want to come with new systems. Maybe some people don't want to be bound to culture and tradition. Some people want to break that down. Some people still want to be bound to it. Mm. Some people want to be in the middle of it, you know?
Because honestly, I see this as just a tiny baby step towards gender equality. That's how I see it.
Yeah, it is.
I think people need to try and accept it and also see the bigger picture.
Yeah. And obviously that will take time. It's not something that just rapidly happens. I mean, this was just announced a week ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So obviously it needs a lot of conversations. And, you know, it's really like what we were saying here, that it's really what works for you.
It's personal choice. Yeah.
It's a personal choice. You live in a world whereby you're given the liberty to make your own choice. Do what works for you.
Exactly.
Really. No one is holding you and saying choose that. I think that's the beauty of the law, that you can take your husband's surname. You can stick to your own surname.
Yeah.
Or you can take your wife's surname. It includes everyone at this point. So there's nothing to really complain about.
And there's nothing wrong with being traditional.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I stand for traditional.
And there's nothing wrong with the men wanting to take their women's surnames, guys.
Do you?
True lover boys down. True lover boys. Those are the true lover
Let
boys.
Let the Sims rise.
That
please.
Is how you will see that man loves you. That man loves you. He said, I will take your Senian baby.
So if one day your husband came to you and was like, you know what, maybe I kind of like your surname.
I like your surname. I think your surname is cooler than mine. How about we do yours? You know, do what works for you, guys. Yeah. Like, live in that world. It's just you and your partner, really. That's all that should matter. Yeah.
And you know, it's so funny that this is actually, you know, coming about now in September. Mm. Obviously, it's Heritage Month.
Yeah, Heritage Month, whereby we should be keeping culture and honoring culture. And now, boom, 10 past 4.
Yeah, they were, maybe should have thought a little bit about the release.
The time.
Yeah, the timing, the release date, everything.
I think maybe they did it on purpose. They were just probably, like, boom.
Maybe, yeah. That would actually make a lot of sense.
How about we do that? How about we shock y'all, you know? And just like that, sort of bringing us to the end, you know. But we're getting into the mood of the week.
The mood is shifting.
The mood of the week. I just say, being here is, oh, you know, I always say this to people. Mm. Being behind the mic makes me so happy.
I can see that.
Being behind the mic makes me so happy. Mm. Oh, they can tell you I walked in here and I probably looked like a zombie. I probably looked like
no, I didn't want expect me to say that anything. About you, girl.
Anything to do. I was like, I'm over and fed up with this day. Mind you, it's in the morning.
Yeah.
It's in the morning. Okay.
Running late.
It's, you know, I'm running late. I was about to do my makeup. I was like, girl, like, maybe let me just look cute, you know, because life is just throwing hands right now. Okay. But I guess for mood of the week for me, this month or the couple of weeks have been a bit hectic, you know, getting into the burnout time where school is really getting overwhelming, work is getting overwhelming, your own personal life is also getting a bit overwhelming, or changes are happening, and just experiences, man, or things that are going on in your life. You know, it's that time whereby you're really trying to keep things together. You know, and I know everyone has been excited in September to lock in. I don't know, girl. I haven't been feeling that. Like, I've been tired, okay? Like, from the bottom of my heart, I'm tired.
And, you know, I feel like recess also revealed a different type of tired for me.
Exactly.
Because now my body does not know how to react.
Dude.
It was work, because I don't know why, but all assignments were due the week before recess.
You get what I mean.
And I was like, what's happening? I can't breathe.
No, I can't breathe.
I'm not breathing. But then I'm like, okay, next week I'm going to breathe. I'll just postpone this now and then I'll breathe next week. And
did you really breathe?
I didn't.
Exactly.
Because I was thinking about what was happening. Like,
what will happen after?
Exactly. What's waiting for me when recess is done? And I was like, yo, when's recess ending? Oh, Monday.
Girl,
coming back.
I was like, oh, it's Monday already?
Wow.
Like just life is just happening, guys. Like, life is happening. So if you just see people, honestly, I think that quote that says, you never know what people are going through, so just be kind to people, honestly. Whoever that you meet, the barman that probably spilled tea on you, you know, or the guy that's like driving really slowly on the road, you don't know what is happening.
Yeah.
People are coming from different worlds and different experiences. So I think for my mood of the week would definitely be, in the midst of stagnancy, in the midst of life's challenges, remain kind, remain gracious, remain humble, you know, and take it slow really on yourself, but keep going. You know, that would be it for me. And what would your mood for the week be?
You know, it's September, right? Mm. It's September. It's Heritage Month, most of all.
Yeah.
You know, we've been speaking about the whole new law, the constitutional. It was obviously made me realize a lot.
Mm.
So my realization for the week would be concerning my mother tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I am colored. My mother tongue is supposed to be Afrikaans, but as obviously I am an English speaking person.
Mm-hmm.
So my family speaks Afrikaans, they were taught in Afrikaans, and the new generation is English speaking and academically has been taught in English.
Yeah.
And I think it happens to many people, but I personally have realized that I carry the weight of not being able to, you know, fluently, without hesitation, speaking my mother tongue.
Mm.
And I don't know how to respond to it, you know, because there are so many people think you're colored. Mm. Obviously, I'm colored.
Mm.
And then they would expect me to know.
To know.
Yeah. Exactly. I know I've learned it academically. Mm-hmm. I know the language. I can understand it.
Yeah.
But when conversing in Afrikaans, it's so difficult.
Mm.
Because obviously we're used to this environment of speaking English yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
And I've been, since a very young age, been exposed to the mixture of both languages. Mm-hmm. It's part of my culture. You know, we mix them. It's South Africa, it's Mzansi.
And now it sort of looks like you've lost a sense of who you are. But at the same time, you know that you haven't. Yeah. But you're in a world that is supposed to be inclusive of everything around you.
And you try to kind of like adjust
and
kind of be with the times and talk the way other people talk and kind of connect in the groups. You know, we... I mean, I was born in the northern areas.
Yeah.
And I lived there for most of my childhood and then obviously moved and people spoke differently. And I was like, oh, I need to kind of adjust myself.
To what you know.
Exactly.
As well.
And then I kind of just lost touch with everything. Everything was different.
Yeah.
And it was, oh my word. And now, you know, we're doing radio and language is such an important thing. I mean, I'm studying communications.
Yeah.
Language is
literally. It is what makes us us.
Exactly.
You know, at the end of the day.
So I think my mood of the week. And I'm talking to myself right now. Mm-hmm. It's not too late to learn. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's not too late to learn your mother tongue. If it is that you can't speak it fluently, you can't read it, write it.
Yeah.
It's not too late. Practice it. You know, make people aware of the fact that you are interested in learning. I think that a lot of people don't realize that so many people are actually willing to help. And there are a lot of resources you can use. I mean... It does not matter. Take the steps, you know, small steps, a word, a conversation a day, you know, small steps are really worth celebrating.
Yeah.
I think, really, that is my mood for Heritage Week.
And I mean, like, from what you're saying, like, even saying one word that you could learn.
It's
Duolingo, guys. It's Duolingo. It's there to teach you French, Spanish, you know, Italian.
Exactly.
You know, everything.
Yeah.
You know, you just immerse yourself in the world of learning.
Exactly.
And I think from what you're saying, it's really important. And really our theme and what we're highlighting to go back to self, go back to who you are from your traditions. And also not just look at it just from that lens, but from a deeper lens of what actually happens in a person's life, the transitions that also take place and how they can affect your mother tongue, your language, your relationship with your heritage and who you are in essence, you know, that we get to. And I'm really proud of you for one, seeing, acknowledging, and one, and two, working on that and taking the steps of really wanting to immerse yourself into this space or field of learning.
Yeah.
You're never too old.
Yeah.
You're never too old. You're never too young to go back again and try again. Mm. You know, we live in a world whereby there's full diversity.
Exactly.
Put yourself out
there. You know,
there.
It's South Africa. And
it's
I think
South
I've
Africa.
Realized that language is South Africa's
exactly.
thing.
You told me.
You know, I was like, what am I doing? I can only speak one language, like back to front. I need to step up.
You know, just
you
even
know?
That one word in
exactly.
his course, that
exactly.
one word in Afrikaans.
I don't know, how many languages do we have?
Yeah, I mean,
more like, it's more than 11. Now.
More than 11
it's
now.
More than 11.
So we need to like really
exactly.
step up.
Yeah, and I was like, oh no, girl, I'm gonna tip back into the Afrikaans.
Yeah,
I'm learning Zulu right now.
Ooh.
I'm just trying to like tap in,
clock in,
trying to really be a true South African.
Period.
Yeah.
And that's our message to you as well, our listeners, wherever you might be, whether you feel as if you've lost touch with who you are, your tradition, your culture, your mother tongue. Mm-hmm. Just know that there's so many other people that are also facing the same thing. We all have walked maybe the same life as well. Some people different journeys, and that's how you get to really learn and immerse yourself in people's worlds, understanding and showing people a little bit more grace sometimes, you know, that it's not because they don't want to, or it's not because that they can't. Maybe a situation came up. So these are the conversations that are needed to be had, you know, and that's the importance of it all.
But yeah, honestly, take it one day at a time. But you know, we're coming to the end of this beautiful conversation. Vuyo, I had an amazing time. I enjoyed it. You know, I always enjoy talking to you.
Stop it.
But here on Diva Drive, we love to keep you updated on the hottest events in GQ.
In the Bay, honey.
Yeah. So we're going to let you know what's going down in September. Mm-hmm. Okay. So at Bird Food Chef Shop in Warmer Park.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, the 18th of September, 7 p.m., it's going to be 450 Rand per team to book. Okay. To book, you're going to go to the easyentry.africa night relay.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's not the only thing. We have Tasty Jams at 1933 Speakeasy. Oh, that's a tongue twister.
Hey.
So the address is 15 Butter Street, Crescent, Fairview. I love Fairview. Fairview's a vibe.
Oh, the vibes.
Yeah.
Have you heard
of What's Good in the Hood? I love it there.
No, what?
Girl,
why are you only keeping me in the loop, okay? Like,
I'm gonna let you know what's up there.
Invite me. Come on.
Okay, so the Tasty Jams will be on Friday, the 19th September, starting at 7 p.m. and doors open at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. That's 180 Rand per person. And to book, call or WhatsApp 066-098-5614. I'll repeat the number. To book, please call or WhatsApp 066-098-5614. And of course, we also have Mandela Bay Opera Launch Gala. Oh, it's giving bougie. We love opera. We love our classical music. Honestly, that's...
Of course.
Yeah, as a musician.
I wish I could. Oh my gosh.
Yo.
Yo.
Ah,
yeah,
nice.
Ne? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So at the Opera House in Central. It'll be on Saturday the 20th mm-hmm. of September, starting at 6 o'clock. It costs 100 to 300 Rand a person. And to book, please go to webtickets.co.za.
And of course you can tell with there's so much here. If you're not an opera person, cool. Tasty Jams there.
Exactly.
You're not a foodie person? Fine. We have Chef Shop by Bird Food Business Night Relay. We have everything for you, whether you're in business, whether you love the food, whether you want entertainment, energy, and vibes and music. That's exactly what we give you. But bringing us to the end of the episode, it's been amazing. It's been a good one.
It's been fun.
Thank you for tuning in and thank you for choosing us each and every single day. And as you like to know, Elam Ikamukuvuyode to work one so I went out to be your joy. And when you hear me on the airwaves, it's just joy, joy, joy. And here at Madiba's Radio, we just love to connect, engage, and inform you, and you, wherever you might turn out to be.
And you know, we live for this.
Yeah.
We love to entertain you, and we hope to see you back again here next week.
I mean, the fact that like now I'm like so jolly and smiley, and here in the morning I was just grumpy.
Exactly.
Just goes to show how much we love you. We appreciate you.
Are you a morning person?
No.
Yeah, same.
No.
Somebody asked me like, what's up? Like, morning person.
What's
I was like,
going on?
I know. Like, I hate everyone in the morning.
Like, stop. Everyone leave me alone. But see, my deep drive people keep me going. They drive me. You know, to be like Madiba and Diva Drive, like my people.
Connect, inform, engage.
Here at Madiba's Radio. Yeah.
Hey. We hope you enjoy the rest of your week, you know, and we hope you remember everything that we've given you today. The little advice, the tea to the convo
that maybe you can have with your partner, your mans, and let them know that, baby, how about you take my sonny? You know, to even just speaking on the mood of the week.
Exactly.
We gave you everything. Now it's for you to connect with us at Madiba's Radio on Instagram, TikTok, and on Facebook. Otherwise, from us to you, it's all love. Have a beautiful week.
Bye. Love you.
What's up? It's Coolie Chana.
How many more licks will it take till I get to the Senegada? Cause I've been at it since the past 18.
Yo, this is your boy Ricky Rich.
Oh, I love a Zulu girl. Oh, I say, oh, 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 I love a Zulu girl. Yeah, I love a Zulu girl. Yeah, I say,
yo, what up? This is Questa. Thank God. All the stars, I feel them all the hits. Yeah, I love you. This is Madiba's Radio.